We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, everybody. Music's a little bit brisker. As we enter the second hour of KDK Radio Midday, I'm Ellis Cannon. You're listening, ironically enough, to KDK Radio. You could join us at 866-391-1020. The Dollar Bank Instant Access is also available at kdkradio.com. We encourage all Americans to go there for the latest information, shows, sound, podcasts, articles, and more. Also, of course, you could text us at 866-391-1020. That text line brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. Instant Access, us, as I already mentioned, and more, including me on Twitter, at Ellis Cannon. So we've been talking about the, I'll put it like this. I began the show by asking where you were, what your mindset was. And I was thinking of it relative to the events of the weekend. And everything from the emotional impact to wherever else it might be in your world. And I want to be very clear. If you're listening, and if you've not been able to get on with thoughts that relate to that, please continue to try. Because, candidly, that's right where my head is the sickness I feel in my stomach when I listen to Joe DiStillo report on those funerals. That knot has not gone away. And when I get off the air for a few minutes and I sort of recalibrate and I hear him say that, it snaps me back. And if there's any aspect of that that you feel is more important than talking about the president's visit and who was there and who wasn't, and you need to get that out, please continue to try. Because right now, there's a lot about Donald Trump on the board in front of me. And a lot of people that have waited 15, 20, 25 minutes. So I'd love to hear from you. I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, want to be disrespectful to those because, again, that is the big issue to me personally. But I have offered, tell me where you would like to go with this, and this is what people have given me. 866-391-1020. I'll be your traffic cop. I'll let you know when's a good time, when's a really bad time, so make it easier on you. I thought the president did a good job yesterday. Thought it was understated. I thought it was respectful. Thought it was nice and quiet, which is what I felt was necessary. It does not exclude all the other matters we've talked about that I have strong opinions about. I don't think I've ever been accused of not, whether you agree with me or not. When it's come to any number of matters related to style and substance and policy and things of that sort, in my estimation, those certainly are always available. They're still out there. They didn't go away. But that wasn't the purpose of yesterday to me. I thought it had to go down the way it did for it to be appropriate. He wasn't told not to come by people in the Tree of Life that lead. He was not told by a faith organization. He may have been told by a political advocacy group supporting Jews that he shouldn't be there unless he signed off on these different qualifications and conditions. But without that, and in fact, in light of an open invitation and the power that comes rhetorically of having our president seen at a place where evil visited, in places of the world where that evil still exists against people of that ethnic and religious background, and that weighs a lot of things for me. That's me. Let's get to you. We'll start off with Sean in Tarentum. Sean, welcome to the show. I'm Ellis Cannon.
Thanks, Ellis. You know, I watched an interview the president had before he came to Pittsburgh, and the woman that was interviewing him asked, some people were saying that this isn't a good time for you to do it. You know, should you rethink it? And he says, no. All I want to do is come, pay my respects to the families, go visit the first responders, and come back home. I don't even think he even cared if he met with anybody else politically. It wasn't on his agenda, at least from that interview.
Well, that's one way to look at it. You know, my bigger fear was is that, of course, he would go beyond that and go into places that even I had a couple callers earlier say that, you know, they're Trump fans, but they cringed a bit with the idea that he may go off on things that were not of yesterday's merit. But he didn't. And so I'm just evaluating it based on what I saw.
But then there was a couple of other things I heard reported on the news that just kind of made me shake my head and go, where are our priorities? Like, they interviewed one of the protesters, and she said, nobody invited him to come here. And I'm thinking, so you have the right to protest, but he doesn't have the right to pay his respects. Did we forget how to act civil toward each other?
That train's left the station, brother. I mean, right. That train's left the station. That's why, you know, Monday was the way the show was. You know, it was sadness associated with it on many different levels, not just me, but obviously a whole heck of a lot of people, because we're seeing things that you know speak to not only that but you know much worse. It's sickening to watch, to be perfectly honest about it. But if we're going to watch, we're going to talk about it. We're going to try to talk about how to change it, which is why we talked about looking at yourself, being introspective, looking at your family. Yeah, the either-or stuff. I've got interesting news. I did a show last night that spoke with a guest that did incredible research on maybe we're not quite as much either-or as you might think, and I'll wheel that one out today or tomorrow. I'm Ellis Cannon. Welcome back, everybody. KDK Radio Midday, Ellis Cannon. And as we get toward halftime of today's show, I have to tell you that the calls out there have been largely about Donald Trump's visit and the reaction to it. Yesterday, we obviously talked about it in an anticipatory sense, and now people are reflecting back on it. We'll continue that conversation. I also, again, if there are folks out there that feel that all of this is misplaced and want to deal with the tragedy any other number of levels, that's perfectly fine. I'll get to the calls as fast as I can. Sandy's in Oakland. Thank you so much for making the dial today, Sandy. What's on your mind?
Hi, Alice.
Hey.
First, my maiden name is Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jewish. I was born and raised in Squirrel Hill. My grandfather owned Steinberg's Butcher Shop on Murray Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
The president was asked not to come this week, to come next week. It was disrespectful of him to come this week because Jews bury their loved ones and then they sit what is called Shiva.
Sure.
For a week. He didn't meet with any of the victims' families. They were busy at the funerals yesterday and again today. He insisted on coming when he was asked, please wait till next week.
Let me ask you, go ahead.
But he wouldn't change his schedule for his rallies.
Well, that's on the board. I mean, the reason that there's two ways to look at that, Sandy. What you just said, and the fact that he has reportedly said, I'm going sooner because anything associated with me going later means I'm going to get yelled at effectively for being late. That's number one. Number two, you said he was asked not to, to come. I saw some Jewish advocacy political groups that said that. I would ask you, as somebody who's Jewish, explain to me then how the rabbi welcomed him in the way that he did.
What else? He was asked by Peduto not to come, to wait a week, and the rabbi stood right next to him in that interview when Peduto stated that to the reporter. The rabbi was put in a position where he had no choice to say he's welcome. He didn't say he is welcome tomorrow.
I'm surprised you say that, because I think he would. He is one of the leaders of the congregation. Again, you know this more than I do. But if he has the opportunity to say it and to say it for the reasons you did, and a lot of people did yesterday, recognizing again what I talked about, the laws, the traditions, the rituals, if they rise to the level where it would be absolutely inappropriate, and that the more appropriate thing is to close ranks and do what the mayor and what Richard Sterrett are doing, then I needed to hear that. I think a lot of people probably needed to hear that. In a void of that, it led a lot of people to the idea of, all right, if it's not violative of those areas, which to me this whole thing pivoted on, then, yeah, it might not be ideal timing, which the White House has already said, but, you know, it's not totally inappropriate.
Ellis, well, let me explain something to you.
Okay.
Jews all over this country have just relived the Holocaust as of Saturday. They've relived and realized what their grandparents told them about and talked about. It's about the hate that comes out of the president's mouth. The fake news. Everything is fake news. Stalin and Hitler used those words.
Well, Sandy, let me say this, and I really...
Let me ask you one more question.
Oh, sure.
Or let me tell you something.
That's fine.
Okay?
Sure.
Any Christian in this country can walk out their door with their cross around their neck without fear. I, as a Jew, cannot walk out my front door anymore with my Star of David visibly around my neck without being in extreme fear.
Well, ma'am, I feel bad. I'm incredibly empathetic to that, and hopefully you've heard that in my voice and in my shows.
That's
a tragedy, and it sickens me. And it's one. And what you are in fear of is what drew me to Squirrel Hill to help raise my family. So that shows you where I'm at with all of this.
Right.
And it, you know, obviously, thank you. And you, please, Sandy, again, I'm asking for people that are really directly affected and that could speak on this in ways that we can all learn. You may disagree with what she had to say as it relates to the president, but I don't think you can disrespect where it came from. All right, guys, I got to jump right into this. I've had people waiting, and this is a remarkable conversation again today. I had no clue really where it would go. You've taken control, and the last call was outstanding, and it's led to other calls. Richard in Pittsburgh, he's Jewish and disagrees with Sandy. I want to hear from him after the break, but I want to get to Chuck. Hey, Chuck, I know you're in Fair Oaks, and you want to give a difference between Trump and the Steelers. You've got about a minute to do that.
Okay, I'll jump on it quick. When the Steelers came to the funeral, oh, that was great. The family will sit around. I'm 60 years old, and I know that I've lost friends and parents. And when you're in the funeral home and somebody comes in like, you know, hey, did you see that Joe came into the funeral home for my mom? So I'm sure the family of the two brothers that saw the Steelers there, it was a nice crowd of them, the good guys. And I'm sure that maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, But they will say, how about the fact that those Steelers showed up?
Well, they did it because of Michelle. They did it for a number of reasons. But Michelle worked there for a number of years. I knew Michelle. I know Michelle. And I've already expressed my condolences on there. I mean, that's really what that was what the – at least that is the thing that it pivoted off of.
Right. That doesn't matter because they showed up. They were a distraction a little bit. Because everybody's looking at them. But, like I say, it probably warmed the hearts of those poor family members.
All right, good stuff. We're going to go to Joe. I'm a little bit late. Thanks, Joe. All right, everybody, let's get back at it. Ellis Ken and KDK Radio. And before I forget, I want to get this out there for those that are a senior on Medicare. You must review your doctor and hospital access this enrollment period, and the networks are changing. So throughout the day, you can call experts at MediConnect. They're based here in Pittsburgh, and they're standing by to answer your questions. So call them. They're experts by calling 1-888-818-MEDI. That's 1-888-818-6334. Call now. Time is running out. I'll hit you that a couple more times before we adjourn. We have a couple of calls. Richard and Lynn, I know you're on hold, and you've been holding the least amount of time, but you've indicated that you want to talk about the sadness of the event, and Richard, the comment screen says, is Jewish and disagrees with Sandy, who basically said the president should not have been here. But I want to get to Millie, and I want to get to Cliff, and let's start off with Millie right off the bat. Millie, Stanton Heights, thank you so much for calling KDK Radio.
I just wanted to talk about the atmosphere of hate that is in the country now. All these protesters yesterday, they have all these hate signs. Well, who hates more than they hate? They have to calm down a little bit and start to reason things out. It was not a day for a political march. They couldn't even think that out, that, you know, it's time to just mourn. They've been protesting for almost two years now. We know how they feel. You know, they need to think a little bit. And all this hate talk, and it's making people who go past hate become violent.
You know, the hate talk, and I almost hate to use that word, but you understand certainly the not just the polarizing and the divisive nature of it, but the very dangerous aspect of it all. And I've certainly given a lot of voice to that, as have many of you. But you said something that, again, only comes from, in my estimation, or best comes in terms of the verbal word. You made me think. My first reaction, because I've always believed in dissent and protests and things of that sort, was like, well, you know, they have that right. But if we're going to be so prickly, at least those of us who are not, Judaism, don't know the faith, don't practice it, know some of it. If we're going to be so prickly about whether the president should be there in a solemn 15 or 20 minutes, shouldn't we, and say that it's all about the victims, it's all about the families, shouldn't we apply analytically, logically, the same to those that are outside that are protesting?
I'm not sure where you're going.
Exactly where you were. Exactly where you were. It was a good call. Let's think about that for a second. I mean, we a lot of people, the president should not be here. Took dozens of calls on that. Still getting a lot of calls on it. Have one line open. This is the time you want to make it. 866-391-1020, particularly if your ideas are a little bit broader than just the president yesterday. But I guess that's a question I should ask. I'm always for protest and appropriate and lawful and dissent and things of that sort. But if yesterday and this time is about everything that's going on with funerals and families and friends and ultimately Shiva and things of that sort, and we're going to be critical of the president, don't we have a right to raise that same question about people who are protesting? It just hit me, so I'm putting that out there. Let's talk right now to Cliff in Monongahela. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, man. Appreciate your dial. Go ahead, Cliff. Cliff. We'll put Cliff on hold. I have no idea what just happened there. Cliff, we'll come back to you. 866-391-1020 will get you aboard. Richard is in Pittsburgh. He disagrees with Sandy, who was pretty forceful about, with her Jewish background, not wanting the president here and thought it was inappropriate relative to the calendar and the rituals. What do you make of all this, Richard?
Thank you for taking my call, Ellis. And with all due respect to Sandy, I too am Jewish. I have a business in Squirrel Hill, and I was at Jerry's funeral, Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz. He's known me for the better part of my adult life, and I couldn't disagree more with her, because the Jewish people have no better friend than Donald Trump. And I believe that, and I promise you that there are many Jews that believe that, and they know that. And that's fine if she doesn't care for Donald Trump. You can hide it any way you want. You can use any type of logic you want. But when push comes to shove, words, you see what words get you. Words got us 11 funerals. And I'm not in any way espousing hate or anything, but this world is what it is. We are who we are, and we have been through the ages. And it's unfortunate that Jews like her have to cower. But I can promise you that there are Jews like myself that do not, will not. And Mr. Trump showed, I mean, he's in a no-win situation, like you said, mm-hmm. no matter when he shows up or what he says. And I think if she knows Rabbi Meir, which I take it she does, because he's a very prominent figure, he is not the most political man. Now, he's not Donald Trump, but if he did not want President Trump there, he would have had no problem saying such. Absolutely, he would not have. And that's really all, because
well, no,
let, you taking me and...
No, listen, hold up. I think you're putting a spotlight on something that I referenced yesterday, but I think needs to be underscored, and that is there's really no... There's not uniformity even within the Jewish community about this. I mean, that's me looking at it from outside in the cheap seats, but it would appear as if that there's not this monolithic. And as a matter of fact, I've seen quotes to that effect. Some say yes, some say no. You know,
right.
I have to take it from people that are in the know, that obviously are of the community and of the faith, and, you know, recognize that that they have greater insight into, in their mind, whether it's pro or against. But I want to go a step further here, and I'm going to ask you to do this in a minute. Tell me about Dr. Jerry.
He truly, my father is a physician, so I've grown up in that community, and he, without a doubt, is one of the two or three kindest men, professional surgeons, physicians that I've ever been around. I'm 58 years old. And he, like I said, we met for the first time in 1977, 78. And he always, those pictures you see with him smiling, that was Jerry, always. He was just the kindest person you'd ever want to meet. He didn't have an ounce of arrogance in him that some physicians can display. His patients, well, I'm sure you've heard all this.
Yes. But,
you know, they called him by his first name. He gave his cell number out to patients who he didn't really know, you know, because they were going through tough times physically. And he knew that there was the mental side of medicine, which a lot of doctors, especially in today's world, forget about. You're in there. They examine you. Ba-bing, ba-bang. You know, you have a diagnosis code. You have a procedure code. You're gone. That wasn't Dr. Rabinowitz.
I appreciate appreciate what you're able to offer. Hey, listen, let's continue the conversation. If you see me
if
you see me in Squirrel Hill, stop me. We'll have something to eat.
Absolutely. Take care.
You're welcome. I got to go to break. Let's get over to Scott Stiller. All right, Joe Walsh, here's the deal. Call 866-391-1020. Hit it on speed dial so you can be heard as it relates to any aspect of the unfolding events, continued pain, reaction to the president, and more. It's been a very busy afternoon. As I pointed out earlier, for those that want at some level to continue to speak about the horrific nature and the pall that it has cast and so forth, and the emotional element of it, believe me, that's first and center to me. And so I'm glad, Lynn, you were able to check in. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Ellis?
I'm well. Thank you for calling.
I just wanted people to really get a perspective. This isn't about politics. This is about 11 people who died and the pain and suffering that is so evident in their families. It's just profound. I went and I stood in line last night for more than 2 hours to get into a house. And then I stood in line for another hour just to get close to the family, who were not just crying, but they were wailing. I've never heard anything like this before. It's beyond.
It is, and let's talk for a moment. You know, I think that even though it's in Pittsburgh, and it's obviously consumed all of us in terms of media coverage or discussion, there's still a sense of the human element somehow not completely coming through. And I'm not suggesting you put a microphone where you were last night or obviously a camera. That's why what you're saying has so much value. You heard me on Monday, possibly, where I said there's three elements to this. There is the human element, there is the spiritual element, and there is the political element. And of course, there's terror and everything else. But, you know, what does it say when we get into this conversation today and we open it up to basically any wide-ranging number of issues related to the event, and I've had four calls related to the sadness or the meaning of the event, and I've had 20 or so that related to the politics? What does that tell you?
That people don't understand how much this has impacted people. They really have to reach down inside themselves to a time when they lost someone they loved. I mean, this is awful. These people went to synagogue and they never came back. You know, fathers, uncles, brothers, mothers ripped out of their world, and now they have this wound. And I'm not kidding you, Alice. I've never heard crying like this. I mean, it wasn't crying.
No, I understand.
All I can say is keening. It's like, you know, Right. Unbelievable. I mean, I just want people to realize, come on, let's not hate each other for at least a week. You know,
it's not a lot to ask for. And you know, as you've heard me say, you know, we have a lot of these different divisions that come up that we make into whether it be race or religion or gender or what have you. We make them just basis to dislike each other, when I find that to be ridiculous.
We're just people. We're all human beings. And I was so hurt. I was so hurt last night by the people screaming in my part of town. I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to go stand in the street and turn my back and, you know, and scream at this man. He belongs here because he's the president.
Well, let me ask you this. That's revealing, but I want to ask you this. I've understood, and obviously the mayor and a county executive, to the extent you can comment on this, they have taken, obviously, a lot of shots on this show and other shows.
I don't know what to say about them. I don't know what to say. You know, I heard...
Well, no. Let me just ask you, Lynn. But I'm hearing that the people on the ground over there are just the opposite, that they're very thankful for their position. Do you have anything on that?
You know what, Ellis? If the rabbi says it's okay to come, then you should come. And I don't care if Peduto says no, or anyone else does, because the rabbi, that's his house, and that's his people that died. He said, come. You should come.
All right. Well, listen, Lynn, thanks so much. Bye. I hope to see you soon. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Alice. Bye.
Hope to see you soon. I've never met her. Well, that's just how Pittsburgh is, right? 866-391-1020. I've got room for another call here. Let's go over to Bob in West Mifflin. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ellis. I'm really, really disappointed that local officials took their position. I'm a Democrat. The president of the United States is the president of the United States. I didn't care for the Bushes, you know, but they were my presidents. And what can I tell you? Ignore the fact that we lost 11 people and to take a position, a political position. And the president, I think, took a political position as well. But there again, we have to think about what's best for this community and think about the people who lost their lives and their families. And, you know, politics is politics, but gosh, you know, we have to remember that we're all in this world together, and we should care about one another.
Let me ask you a question real quick, Bob. I wanted to get your thought out, but I only have 15 seconds. You said we need to worry about our faith, our friends, our family, the loved ones, the ones in pain. That's what the mayor and chief executive said.
Well, you know, the president of the United States, if he asked me to be there, or if I had an opportunity to be there, I would be there because of being...
I understand.
Consistent with, you know, helping others and showing...
So you didn't feel it would be inconsistent for them to be there as long as it was going to be along the terms of what we saw yesterday?
Well, you know, I just think we should be together. We should be united and in these kind of causes.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Make a dial now if you want on 866-391-1020.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.